God's mercy and peace are yours this day from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It didn't take long after God created the heavens and the earth and established his rule and dominion before his creatures rebelled and sought to establish a different kingdom using violence, bringing about death. By using Adam's love for his wife against him, the devil convinced Adam to join him in rebellion. And he conscripted all of his children after him to line up with the devil. Against God on the battlefront of a cosmic war that brings violence and death into the world. But out of his great love and mercy for mankind, God was unwilling to let humanity be destroyed by the treachery and deceitful schemes of the evil one. So God sent forth his word of promise that there would be one born uncorrupted by Adam's sin, one who would overthrow the devil's might and power, overcome the violence and darkness brought into the world through Adam's rebellion. And by this word, faith and hope in God was restored. The kingdom of God on earth was reintroduced, and God established a beachhead from which he would restore the kingdom destroyed by the treachery of the evil one. But only a small number would trust his word and believe his promises. The great majority of those born to men would reject the hope and the peace promised by God. They would instead remain aligned with the devil against the kingdom of God. In the course of time, God chose one specific man and his descendants after him to carry forward that promise. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God would bring forth the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. But even when God stretched forth his mighty hand, calling the sons of Jacob out of Egypt, even after he rescued and redeemed them from their bondage to slavery under Pharaoh, very few entrusted themselves to his mercy. But in spite of man's faithlessness, God remained faithful. And in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem mankind from their slavery and bondage to the devil, in order to prepare his people and announce the coming of the Savior. God caused the barren woman Elizabeth to give birth to a son by her husband Zechariah. John the Baptist would grow up, live in the wilderness, eat wild honey and locust, wear camel's hair. He would be the last of the Old Testament prophets sent by God to proclaim the way of the Lord, to reveal the one who comes as king, to redeem the world, to fulfill God's promise of mercy and grace. The wicked one tried with all his might to prevent the ascension of God's chosen and anointed to the throne of his kingdom. The wicked tyrant even persuaded God's own chosen people to put to death the Son of God, hoping against hope that this would secure his dark and violent reign. But the Lord of life could not be held by death. And Jesus rose victoriously on the third day, overcoming death, overcoming sin, overcoming the dominion and power of the devil, to finally establish his kingdom on earth through the proclamation of the good news that the reign of darkness has come to an end. The kingdom of God is now at hand and accessible here on earth to all mankind. In spite of our Lord's victory, the violent still attempt to overthrow his kingdom by force. Even though the decisive battle has already been won, skirmishes and battles continue as the everlasting gospel is proclaimed to the ends of the earth to call all people to have hope and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior and the one true King. One of those battles began when a lone monk, a professor of the Bible, became captivated by the hope and promise of Christ and sought to bring the church out of her captivity to falsehood, which overshadowed the truth and hid the precious light of Christ from the world. It was October 31st, 1517. Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg, statements arguing against the power and efficacy of indulgences. The particulars of that document are not our concern today, but the date remains marked as the beginning of the Reformation, because that very act of that lone monk was instrumental in God's activity to cause the light of the gospel once again to shine brightly in the world so that people would know God's hope and mercy and grace in Christ Jesus and be brought into the kingdom of God. We call it the Reformation because during this time, God was not at work to create something new. He was not tearing down the old to destroy it like he did the Old Testament worship in the temple after the gospel took root in the days of the apostles. We call it the Reformation because during this time, God took the good that remained within the Western church and purified it. He cast aside the teachings of men, the lies of the devil, which hid the truth from mankind. Church did not need to be recreated. It merely needed a course correction. It needed to be reformed so that faith and the hope of men was placed firmly in Christ and his word, not the doctrines and traditions of men. God caused the early reformers to rediscover the fundamental teachings, the unchanging truths of God's word. And then by his Spirit, he urged them to set to work to cast off the excesses, to remove what was false, to hold on to what was true. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, through the word of Holy Scripture, God caused them to see clearly the glorious good news that God is indeed gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he sent Jesus to rescue and redeem us. And by simple faith and trust in the rescue and salvation which Jesus won for us, we are made right with God. Just as St. Paul declares, "Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus." By the rediscovery of this truth, the Reformation brought the church back to the unchanging promises of God. The kingdom was reestablished on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," says our Lord. The reformers wanted to make sure that people heard, that they laid hold of the pure and uncompromising promises of God revealed in his word so that they could lay hold of salvation, the salvation he promised, so that they would receive the grace and favor that he desired to bestow. And through their reforms, the reformers reoriented the church away from the works that we do for God as the means to bring us back into his good graces. And they reminded us that by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not works, so that no one can boast. This faith comes to you as a gift from God himself, delivered through the ear as the word is preached and proclaimed, delivered on your skin as the waters of holy baptism come to you, delivered into your mouth as the word is attached to the bread and the wine, so that we eat the body and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus as he himself bids us do. Through these means, what we call sacraments or divine mysteries, God is at work by his own Spirit to give faith where and when he pleases. The work of the Reformation to recenter the church around the word and the sacraments was so that her children would be made wise unto salvation. The insight of the Reformation is that apart from these means, apart from the word spoken, attached to water, bread, and wine, there is no true church and no salvation. But wherever we find these things, as Christ has established them, we find the kingdom of God on earth. We find the true church of God. And that's why we can rightly say that the Reformation church is the true bearer of the gifts of God in the present day. Wherever the word is preached in its purity, wherever we find baptism and the Lord's Supper administered according to Christ's institution, not according to human tradition, not according to the ordinances of men, but according to how God instituted them, there is the true church of God on earth. That's why, as children of God and heirs of the heritage that God brought forth in the Reformation, we cling to these things as if our eternal life depends on them, because it does. The Reformation church is that place where these things are celebrated and held devoutly. Those who have been made wise by faith gather around these means to receive God's mercy and grace so that we are made wiser still, so we are strengthened and preserved in the midst of this world as it continues to try to overthrow the kingdom of God even by force. Because ever since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The fighting has been fierce. The warfare has been long. It was for the apostles just as it was for the reformers. They were pursued, some were arrested, some were stoned, some were burned at the stake. Continues even now as steadfast believers continue to suffer violence by word and deed at the hands of those who try to destroy the church and extinguish faith from the earth. Because such violence always accompanies the truth, sometimes to a greater degree, other times to a lesser degree. Because the kingdom of darkness cannot allow the light to shine brightly. They have an irrational compulsion to seek to snuff out the truth and destroy all who speak and proclaim it. Where they're unable to separate us from our devotion to the word and the sacraments, they seek to undercut our faith and trust in God in more subtle ways, sowing doubt and confusion, trying to lead us away from Christ and his promises. It's difficult to recount all the ways this happens in our world, but, for example, most of the things we've been taught to call the culture war issues are actually attacks on the church itself and the very gospel of Jesus. The world tries to convince us that abortion, radical second and third wave feminism, homosexuality, transgenderism, and all the other hot button issues we hear about are simply moral issues. The radical critical race theory, Marxist tendencies in our society are merely conversations about social structures. But each of these things teaches a pattern of thought, a view of the world that undercuts the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are not moral issues. These are faith issues that touch to the very core of the mercy and grace of God in Christ Jesus. the one who gathers us into the body of believers and unites us together as the bride of Christ. The real reason that advocates of these things are so aggressive in their rhetoric, so insistent that the church adopt these views, is because they seek to steer the church once again away from Christ and the gospel, just as the papacy and Rome did before the Reformation. All these issues are simply the modern violence that is suffered by the kingdom of God. You can see the truth of it. Look around at the many denominations and church bodies that have given themselves over to these teachings. The violence of the false teachers who have relentlessly attacked the truth for years, finally having their attacks take root. The wolves have attacked and destroyed, and faith, the faith of pious believers within the midst of these congregations, has been scandalized. Inside and outside the church, those who wish to kill and maim and destroy faith seek to play their instruments and lead us to dance or mourn according to their whims. They mock us. They deride us for not marching to their drumbeat. But the Reformation Church holds firmly to the words handed over to us by God Himself in the Scriptures. We know that wisdom does not come from the academy. It doesn't come from the colleges and universities. It doesn't come from the rich and the powerful who have always violently attacked the church. Rather, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. And so the Reformation Church gathers around the Word of God, taught in its purity and simplicity, so that we would grow in true faith and godly wisdom, strengthened by the teachings of Christ Jesus to live in repentant faith and trust in God and live the life that God has established for us in Christ Jesus. Like Luther, the Reformation Church today takes to itself the words of Scriptures and has those words form our heart and our mind. We shape our conscience by the commands and promises of God, and then we, like He, declare, "Here I stand, I can do no other." When the world opposes us with its false teachings, whether the falsehood arises within the church, as it did from the See of St. Peter in Rome, or whether it arises outside the church and seeks to overthrow us, the Reformation Church stands firmly upon Christ's word and remains steadfast, because we know we will be preserved and protected by the truth of God, which can never lead us astray. As we sang, "This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, but he can harm us none. He's already judged, the deed is done. The word of Jesus cast him down and tramples him underfoot. So take they our life, our goods, our fame, our child, our wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won." Standing firm upon Christ and His word and His promises, the kingdom ours remaineth. Hearing the voice of Christ, laying hold of His promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation, as it is delivered to us through the word and the sacraments, the Reformation Church gathers around these gifts to be sustained as children of God, united in fellowship with Christ, so that we will remain in His care until that day when Jesus returns in clouds of glory and reveals the truth of our faith, ushering us into the eternal life which He has gone to prepare. But as the Reformation Church, we are not content to enter into that land only to leave the great multitude in the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Reformation Church also seeks to call others out of the rebellious army of darkness into fellowship with Christ and peace with God. We carry forward the eternal gospel proclaimed by the angel in Revelation 14, calling to all to fear God and give him glory, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to repent and believe the good news of salvation which God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus. We seek to keep them from worshiping the beast in his image. We seek to prevent them from receiving the mark so that they would not be made to drink of the wine of the wrath of God and tormented by his indignation. The Reformation Church invites all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, to put their hope in Christ Jesus, who holds the keys of death and Hades. He has died and risen from the dead to bring eternal salvation to all people from every tribe and race, every language and every nation, whether near or far. So the Reformation Church continues to proclaim the good news of Christ's victory and invites all to join us as we gather around his word and receive his mercy and grace in the sacraments. Because the Reformation Church is the true church of God in Christ Jesus on earth. It is the gathering of the wise children of God who stand firm upon the unshakable rock of Christ and his word amid a wicked and perverse generation. We grow in wisdom. We are made wise to salvation through the word. We receive his grace and mercy in the sacraments because through these Jesus delivers to us the forgiveness of our sins, the life and salvation he won for us on the cross. He preaches it into our ears. He pours it on our skin in the waters of holy baptism. He places it on our tongue and pours it over our lips. He gives us his body and his blood in holy communion. By his Spirit, we grow in both faith and wisdom. By his mighty hand and outstretched arm, we continue to be preserved and protected from the onslaught of sin and falsehood, even as we call others out of darkness into the light of Christ's love and mercy. And in this way, the Reformation Church endures by the grace of God as we wait in faith until Christ comes again in glory, revealing that we are indeed sons of God. Wisdom will be justified by her children, says our Lord. And within the Reformation Church, we are confident that the wisdom of God will be vindicated on that day. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.